Work. Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
A watchdog says a girl held in a young offenders institution was pinned down and forcibly stripped by a group of male prison guards. Chief Inspector of Prisons Charlie Taylor says he was deeply shocked at the findings from Wetherby in West Yorkshire. Police are questioning a 33-year-old woman on suspicion of murder after a 10-year-old girl was found dead in the West Midlands. She was discovered at an address in Sandwell. A new study suggests the amount of people smoking non-cigarette tobacco products has soared over the last decade. We've been speaking with Alizé Frogel from Cancer Research UK about proposed legislation so that children will never legally be sold tobacco.
Nothing would have a bigger impact on reducing the number of preventable deaths than ending smoking. This legislation could cement the UK's position as a world leader on tobacco control.
And the uncle of the Princess of Wales has praised her as perfect as he entered the Big Brother house. From Radio News Hub, I'm Edward Breslin.
All right, I'm ordering Domino's. What do you want?
I'll have the ultimate carbonara pizza. Capiche?
What?
Capiche. You know, it's Italian for hurry up and order.
The ultimate carbonara pizza. Creamy cheese sauce, mozzarella and mushrooms, topped with smoked bacon. Feast like a don.
Domino.
Subject to availability.
Coming up, Africa in Focus.
Imagine, it's Wednesday. One minute you're at the gym, you're doing it, getting those steps in, not thinking about pizza, and definitely not clock watching. Only 56 and a half more minutes left. And the next, that'll do. You're a millionaire. Lotto, will you be next? Play on app, the National Lottery. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Hello, I'm Dr. Shaun Bakare. If something in your body doesn't feel right, talk to us. Don't let the worry of cancer play on your mind. Tests could put your mind at rest. Until you find out, you can't rule it out. Your NHS wants to see you. Contact your GP practice.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio. Africa in Focus.
Good morning, good afternoon, or even good evening, depending on where you are connecting to us from. Welcome to Africa in Focus. I'm your host, Julius Baluto, and we are coming to you from the heart of London to wherever you are on Colorful Radio. Today is another wonderful time, and our spotlight today goes on the wonderful country, very big country in Africa, very populous, and this is none other than our wonderful Nigeria. So today we focus on Nigeria. Of course, that happens to be the country that produced one of the most, amazing, inspiring elder. He wrote his book known as Things Fall Apart, and that's none other than Chinua Achebe. And I remembered that line, Things Fall Apart, today, because we are talking about Nigeria today at a time whereby there are issues about economic crisis and all that. We want to find out, are things falling apart, or is it okay, or someone is hanging up there? And I'm joined by my great friend, of course, broadcaster Priscilla Nwapo. Priscilla, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Julius. Always a pleasure to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, that's great. We have seen this week Nigerians going on the streets protesting about, economic challenges, cost of living, and we've seen changes. These changes coming at the back of a newly elected president, of course, Tinubu, and according to experts, of course, they are saying Nigerian economy has run downhill in 2023 due to macroeconomic indicators. He says worsened, and they're saying that GDP growth has fallen in terms of inflation is been going up, and also severe shortage of foreign exchange, and also the redesigning of the Nigerian Naira. These are seen as some of the things that are causing trouble. And of course, the other thing is a failure of Tinubu's government to give subsidy to oil industry again, as we are aware. So let's just to have a taste of how things are on the ground. Here be this, and we'll come back to you, Priscilla, and then we take it from there.
Millions were suffering in Nigeria.
They are suffering in the land. They are suffering for the worker. You know, no worker can live on 30,000 minimum wage. And over 150 million Nigerians are living below poverty line. Poverty, when you say below it, those are the people that can't get something to eat on daily basis.
For Nigeria, because this queue is not what we were Nigerian wish for. It's not for us. Look at people dying. Two men there fainted, pouring water, women also. It's not what we're supposed to suffer for.
Priscilla, you have it there. Of course, we heard all these people saying the second lady is talking on a queue for food. And of course, we heard our sentiments. That's not the kind of Nigeria they want to see. Your take.
Wow. Where does one start? Okay. So let's go back to the 29th of May, 2023, when Mr. Tinubu assumed office. It was during that inauguration speech that he was making that he inevitably made the announcement that fuel subsidy is now gone. And fuel subsidy is a sensitive issue in Nigeria for Nigerians and amongst politicians and so on. During the tenure of his predecessor, President Goodluck Ebele Jonathan, when he had wanted to remove fuel subsidy then, Tinubu was one of those politicians and leaders who took to the streets and protested against the removal of fuel subsidy. I remember at the time, Dr. Okonjo-Iweala was the then, I think she was the coordinating minister and also the Minister of Finance. And so the outcry was that you've not done enough to alleviate the impact of removing subsidy on the people. So then how could you do this? And, you know, they were out protesting. I think I remember there was a protest that was for like 7 days. Nigeria literally held the government for seven good days. People were out in the streets. So then let's come back to 2023. On the 29th of May, in his inaugural speech, he just says subsidy is gone, bearing in mind that he's not speaking from his desk. Nor had he at that point constituted his government and put people in positions. And immediately that announcement was made, fuel cost price literally tripled. Nigerians were just, what the, you know, they couldn't believe the shock of it. That cost rose, and then there was the trigger. Now, naturally, the people were expecting that he would have put something in place to alleviate the impact. But at that point, there was no plan. So you just take away subsidy and everything had gone into free fall from that point, quite literally. So like you said earlier, things fall apart. And then the other continuation of that sentence is the center can no longer hold. So the center appears not to be holding for the Tinubu administration, because it's one thing to remove fuel subsidy. It's another thing to have plans that will cushion the effect and its impact. And what Nigerians have seen is what they've termed as propaganda, in that statements are made from the government pressmen about things that are happening. So for instance, let's rewind to last weekend. Last Friday, the Senate president said in the House that the government had given 30 billion to each state governor. So the presidency had given, you know, to, because we run a federal government. So they've given money to the states. We now learn from two governors. One said, well, perhaps it was a prayer. And if that is the case, he's hoping that, he's trusting that it will manifest. So that's to say he didn't receive any money of that sort. Another came out and said, nobody gave us 30 billion naira as pronounced in the House. So it's statements like that that Nigerians have been receiving. So it's no wonder we're seeing a lot of people out in the streets. Individuals have been making videos more than ever. There are a lot of videos that people are making, crying about the impact of the fuel subsidy removal, the lack of you know, any cushioning support from the governments, whether they're state or federal, and the fact that their money can no longer go very far. Now, Nigeria is a very interesting country, because the moment you announce something like that, we do not use the dollar as our currency, but everything is related to the dollar. So you have an instant situation where instantly people begin to say, well, the dollar is this amount, and so, you know, this, I can no longer sell this at that, I can, and it's ridiculous. And because what has followed off the back of the fuel subsidy removal is the free fall of the naira. The naira has been devalued three times, you know, the value that he met it. So when he came into office, the naira was probably somewhere around 800 naira to a dollar, to a pound, and perhaps 650, you know, or thereabouts to a dollar. But today, as I speak to you, the naira in this time has been up to 2,300 naira to £1, and up to 2,000 thereabouts, I think, to a dollar. So you can see, you know, so what does this mean? This means that for all imported products, they've lost value, because the seller can no longer sell and get back, you know, how much they paid for it in the first instance. And so what do we do? That's going to increase. But then you also have a situation in Nigeria where they're very quick to have these unions that they have. So you've got the cement sellers, for instance. The cement was selling, and this is a very interesting situation. I think before, on his arrival, cement was probably selling for perhaps somewhere around 2,000-3,000 naira per bag. And it gradually crept up. It was now at about 4 or 5. And as soon as as of 2 weeks ago, from what I learned, especially with the fluctuation of the naira, the constant devaluation, it's now standing somewhere around 10,000 naira. Wow. At a bag.
This is Colorful Radio.
Colorful Radio.
Colorful,
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 genius.
Colorful radio.
Wow.
That's
you change.
The minimum wage is 3,000 naira, so that's 30,000, yeah, apologies, a month. So where are we going?
Yeah, you mentioned a very important thing there. You see the crisis within petrol, crisis within the naira currency. These are very sensitive areas, because what happens is that fuel has got a knock-on effect on everything. And of course, when you see fuel going up, it means the sellers are going to increase prices of their stuff to make up for their transport, because transport cost has gone up. They got these, yeah, all these knock-on effect, and also the the falling of the naira, losing of value, devaluation is also serious, because it means you're gonna have to spend more naira to buy what you used to buy before.
That's right.
And the problem that causes is that people's wages are not going on. I mean, the latest protest they had, I think, you know, they were talking about they want their salaries to be increased. And when, Priscilla, when you look into the physical side of things, we have serious problem. Today, I mean, we not literally today, we've seen a recent issue about the Navy of Nigeria arresting thieves who had stolen oil. So you have the theft of oil going on, you know, and these cartels stealing it and all that. And then on the other hand, you have the subsidy being withdrawn, by the government. So all these crises have got a knock-on effect on the life people lead. So question is, where are we now? It's, I've seen latest talk about Ghana, the way they had to get so much money from IMF and the World Bank to balance their books because almost of similar crisis. Is Tinubu on the bull or is under the hooves of the bull being trampled upon?
I think I would have to go for B. You know, there I have two examples that I'm looking at the moment, and those two examples really does call to question the intent and the know-how to improve things. So and those two examples, and they're the first one is Niger. We all saw the situation with Niger when, you know, there was the military coup that took place. And we now know that Niger is under military leadership. But one of the things that Niger did, the military leadership of Niger did, was that they said, we can no longer continue to allow France to sell our uranium at over $200 and give us something around the amount of like $8 per kilo, whatever unit it is sold in. So they said, no more. We are going to sell our uranium at market price. You can't do that to us anymore. And so they did. And today we hear of Niger being one of the fastest growing economies in Africa. Suddenly now they've fallen within that bracket. And here's the thing. So, you know, Niger are doing that. Fantastic. And then you have a state in Nigeria that is called Abia State. And Abia State, Nigeria, on the 29th of May, the individual who is the governor of the state took his oath of office, much like Tinubu did. One moment, bear with me. As I was saying, much like Tinubu did, he took his oath of office on the same day. But he literally hit the ground running. And, you know, whether it's roads that he's addressing the issues of road, because Abia State, it's a production hub in the East, but it has been plagued by awful leadership for over 20 years. And so that state had become one of the smelliest, you know, you can imagine in Nigeria. The roads were appalling. Everything was just appalling. The decadence was unbelievable. But he has come into office and he has taken control. He's, you know, in conversation with China about building rail. Just on Monday or so, they turned on the power. So that state now has a power plant that is producing something along the lines of 110 kilohertz or so of electricity, and it will go up to 180. Remember, it's a production hub. Agriculture, he's working in that area too to develop that. He's also working to regenerate I mean, the production was going on. They produce, it's a real hub because you have people that are traveling from around Nigeria to that Aba market, as it were, to buy various things, whether that's leather, whether it's leather goods, whether it's, you know, food, you name it, they're going there. So Abians have been excited because they can actually see the future. And now he has provided power. And so life there now is a lot better than what it was. Roads are being built. And you're now having people, I understand, I was having a conversation with somebody just recently, where people are discussing moving back to Abia State, looking at how to, you know, restructure their businesses and go back there. It is now the place that people want to be, most especially because of the power. So you can see the difference between in these leaderships and their intentions and their focus. Their focus is on developing. Their focus is on ensuring that real change come to the people. So when you look at that and then you see where Tinubu is going, you know, we're devaluing the Naira, we're still struggling, there's no real policy direction, where we have this insecurity problem that has plagued the country. And don't forget that he took over from his own party. So it's not as though he took over from the opposition and, you know, they have a different direction when it comes to leadership. No, he took over from his own party. And, you know, it was 8 years of rundown under Buhari. So, yes, he's not being blamed. You know, he's not responsible for everything. But he fails to demonstrate or to say, this is our policy direction. This, his campaign theme was renewed hope. So the question is, where's this hope? Where's the renewal? What is the direction you're taking us? There's a failing in that arena for him, and so it makes it very difficult. And I think that's probably why people are out so quickly to demonstrate and to cry and to shout and to draw attention to their plight on a daily basis, as they are doing. And what is more interesting is that a lot of the people you see that are making the videos, at least for the ones that I've come across, are a lot of people that come from, you know, his southwestern region of the country. So it's all going down.
Priscilla, when you look into a country like Nigeria, it doesn't just depend on oil alone. As diverse economy, of course, you have agriculture as well happening. But to see people protesting, to see people joining a very long queue to be given some food on a country that has got huge land like Nigeria, where people can farm, how bad is this? And in terms of governance again, how strong is the national government working with the state government led by governors? Is there like a problem? Because sometimes if local government headed by governors can work in a very pretty well coordinated manner, maybe they have a potential to make a difference. But in relation to national government, which Buhari leads, what is the problem? It's because it's almost everywhere the country people protesting because of hardships they are facing and anger.
I mean, yes, the whole idea of the federal structure is that they're supposed to work with state governors. Because within every state, there are federal responsibilities as well as state responsibilities. And I think that as a leader whose intention is for the development of the country, and you would want to do that as a whole, you will make sure that you're working with your state governors to be able to achieve that. But I think that, you know, where there is a lack of real development direction, you will find it all seems somewhat disjointed. And I think that that's what the situation may be. During the Buhari administration, we began to experience what those who were experiencing them, i.e. farmers around the country, said they were being attacked by Fulani herdsmen. The administration did not like the use of the description identifying term Fulani herdsmen, and said no, that they were herders, or that they were bandits, or that they were, you know, clashes. But those who had these experiences, these were not some kind of neighborly clashes of people who had a simple disagreement. They experienced, from a lot of what was what is out there, outright attacks, where they were attacked just for being on their farms, and for some they were killed and their farms taken over. Excuse me. So that happened a great deal during the Buhari administration, and as a result of that, it impacted farming for that season. And so for a good 8 years, people struggled to farm. Some no longer go to farm because they've lost their land. And farmers no longer had, during the Goodluck administration, there was a real work towards farmers. The agricultural industry was given a boost with how the farmers were accessing fertilizers and seeds and things like that. So there was a great deal of support for farming during that administration. But then on the arrival of the Buhari's administration changed that somewhat, and then also had the added attacks, criminality that took place. And so that problem already exists. There was going to be a challenge with sufficiency, food sufficiency, as the years went by, because of, you know, what happened in that season. There wasn't real attention paid to agriculture, and so that was expected. But I think that it's made matters worse now, what we are seeing.
Colorful radio.
So, in order for there to be, I think what would help, not just the people but for everybody, is a real clear, determined action to address the insecurity issues, to address the criminality that is happening. Without that happening, you're really just it's just lip service to the issue and to agriculture and for all those that are involved. So that's one area that he needs to address. There's a real failing to understand what his policies are. What are his policies in other areas? What are his policies on energy, power, for instance? Energy is a huge thing at the moment. And, if we're to, when it comes to renewable energy that the world are running on, talking about right now and insisting is the future, we have all it takes to generate renewable energy. But there's no conversation in that regard. As to what is to happen. So there is that. There's also, the matter of transportation. What are we doing in that arena? Because it's a huge area. Nigeria is a vast country of 36 states, and Nigerians move around. It's a huge area that needs addressing. There are so many others, and of course, all of these areas, huge contribution to the economy and the well-being of the Naira. And so, I think he needs to, the considerable work needs to be done, and people need to see serious policy directions that are people intended, that are intended to solve the problems, and not, you know, budgets that, when his budget was announced, we're talking spending something like $15 billion to build a house for the vice president that already lives, you know, quite comfortably. We're talking spending billions on buying cars for the legislators. Hello. There were talks of buying cars for his wife in the budget, and, you know, what would she be doing with all of those cars? Do we not have enough cars as it is? There's the matter of, you know, money that will be the government house that he occupies will should be refurbished again. But remember that it was refurbished just at the end of the last administration. Okay, so you may not like it. Perhaps you could change a few things and not spend billions redoing that, especially when there's a cost of living crisis. But the budget spoke very much about their comforts, the comforts of the politicians, the comforts of the vice president, the comforts of Mr. President, but not much the comfort of the people. And there lies the problem, you know, because the area of education, he talked about student loan, but then when you look at it closely, it'll be very difficult for you to access it. And, you know, you need parents that are earning enough money, and, you know, it looked a bit tricky. So it was a great announcement, but not really going anywhere. There's the health sector. Rather than, you know, creating things that will help us with the brain drain that we're experiencing at the moment, because everybody's trying to find greener pastures somewhere else. So they're taking their skills and they're off. And you now have policies that is supposed to hold doctors and nurses back in the country, but then you're not improving their working conditions, nor are you improving their pay. So why are you holding them in? You've got to do more. If you're going to do that, you know, when you look at these sectors, the question just remains, where is the renewed hope? Where, you know, what are we doing that is really development focused?
Priscilla, oil happens to be a very great resource for any country to have. Experts say, without COVID, of course, situations like COVID, they are worse. Or simply put, in a good day, Nigeria could produce up to 2.1 million barrels per day. And now, of course, we know Nigeria is one of the world leading exporters of oil. But problem has always been exporting the crude oil and importing the finished product back to the country at exorbitant price. Now, that seems to have been dealt with, of course, by people like Dangote building his refinery. And when you look into that patriotism that moves someone like Dangote, the richest man, perhaps on African soil or whatever, he's seen the problems. He's doing something about it. What does Tinubu, the president, how does he see this? Does he collaborate with people like Dangote, patriotic people who can make a difference?
Oh my goodness. Wow. The Dangote refinery. Okay. Where do we start? So, in your last question, you know, you were talking about I missed this part in my response, and I'll come back to Dangote in a jiffy. Nigeria is said to be a mono economy. In other words, there's only one product that we sell. But really, we have, you name the mineral, it exists in that country. but it just isn't developed and brought up. And it's not just minerals. I'm not just talking about solid minerals, you know, gold and silver and uranium or diamonds or any of those things, but they exist. Nigeria also has cocoa, may not have it in the same volume as what Ghana does, but it has cocoa. Our agriculture once upon a time was leading the world. Our yam was, you know, leading the world. What's going on there? So I think if all of these areas were developed and brought back as it once upon a time used to be, then we will have a better economy, be a little bit more diversified and inclusive, and will be better. But we're currently running on just this oil that, you know, as you brought up now. Yes, we are one of the world's oil producers and one of the best oil. The Brent crude is it number four or number three or something? Excellent quality. But the problem, from what I understand, is that the last administration has sold some oil forward. The problem you described of, you know, the we will export. We have refineries, by the way. Government refineries exist, and every year there's a budget towards, repairing those refineries for them to work. Every year, a budget goes towards that, but it never works, and so they will still continue. So that's to say that obviously points to a lot of fraud that's going on there. And so the Dangote refinery came on, and you know, to a lot of cheer and excitement, we were initially told that it was going to come on stream this year. And, you know, we were told that he had borrowed money, naturally, as you do, for the project, and that he had even paid back 70% of the money. But in recent weeks and days, I think it's fair to say that there's a huge controversy surrounding that money that was borrowed. And before now, it's been clear that the refinery is not actually as ready as we were told it was. So it's not going to come on stream this year, as this July, as we were told. As to whether or not it will happen by the end of the year, that's to be seen. But then we also we were told that he was going to import and sell. So what happened to the refinery? Why would you be importing? You're not the government. So you've now got license to do that. Okay. Agreed, accepted. He seems to have, he's more favored than a lot of Nigerians, I suppose. And then we now have the added, we're now a couple of days ago, there was a news item that was saying that because of the fall of the Naira and how bad it is, because obviously it's also devalued his wealth. He's also talking about selling in dollars now. As to be able to...
Pretty so sad. Oh, my God. Oh, everyone is a victim, eh? Yeah. It's not all that glitters is gold, eh?
not in this situation right now.
This is Colorful Radio.
Before we went for break, I think we chatted about the challenges that we have. In terms of way forward, I think way forward, and this is the most important, what do you think the government ought to do? Of course, it's faced with crisis, economic crisis. We have the oil industry, which is very important. Of course, the other realms of Nigeria's potential and resources, but especially oil seems to be on the front. Everybody thinks about oil and all that. So we see this industry faced by challenges. Of course, theft, we are talking about cartels. We are talking about lack of subsidy that used to cushion most of the problems. And then countrywide, we have people who are affected by hard economic conditions they're screaming about. Where do we go? I mean, what could be the way forward, basically?
Well, the way forward, there's a number of things that I think can be done. So you know, speaking on the oil, because you know, you just mentioned that during the Goodluck administration, there was a petroleum industry bill that they were trying to push through the House. And what this petroleum industry bill was going to do, from what we understand at the time, it was going to address some of this issue with, you know, the stealing that goes on. But more than anything, it was going to open up the sector and permit other players, let's just say, you know, especially most especially ordinary Nigerians. And one of the other things it was going to do was going to permit for modular refineries. Modular refineries are, you know, smaller refineries that are owned by individuals and not, you know, the state or conglomerates and so on. And they would then refine these products. And so that would have, you know, created an increase, you know, for petroleum products, whether it's the products, the off products that come off of, you know, refining petroleum, you know, and so on. So there were some changes made during the Buhari administration, but we've not really seen, you know, that going through and how it's what it's done. So that's an area that he could look into. I also think that that would address a lot of things. The whole subsidy structure and how it is and what is involved. I think he needs to look at that, look at it carefully, and how do we restructure it for Nigerians. One of the things that he's done recently is to implement a report that effectively reduces the cost of governance. And I'll applaud him for that, but it's an announcement at this point. And I suppose we will not see that its impact for perhaps 3 to 6 months down the line, because then they have to activate reducing the cost of governance, merging parastatals, agencies, and what have you, to reduce whether it's the cost for the buildings that they're in or this number of staff that are all of that. And I also think that he also has to make a personal adjustment. He must also be seen to be wearing or experiencing the challenges. It can't just be about the masses. And then we hear in the budget that you're, you know, allocating billions for a haircut, for instance. I say that as, you know, just as an example. And so those are some of the things that could, you know, I think that his policies need to appear more people-centered and more considerate for the individuals and less harsh, because at the moment they just seem so very harsh. It doesn't help matters when we have members of his children recently telling Nigerians, oh, you know, it's going to be hard for a while. We all have to, you know, go through this. You know, so just try and bear with my father. But then you're all not experiencing what the people are experiencing. And one of you, your partner, has just been promoted. And that department where he has just been given a job has just been issued over how many billions naira worth of contracts, work to do. So you're not going to have the same problem that the person on 30,000 naira is having. So don't tell Nigerians how to. So these are some of the things that his children need to not be involved in governance, because they're getting involved in things that don't concern them. It doesn't help. And I think those are some of the things that are driving up the anger. You know, he needs to also revive other sectors. It's not just about oil. We need to go back to our agriculture. What's happening with our yams? Why are they not meeting, you know, the requirements for export? They once used to. What's happening now? Let's go back to that. Our farmers, we need to create safety for them. And then, of course, we need to support them to be able to farm so that we can export and we'll have food sufficiency. What is he doing towards that? What I mentioned earlier about, you know, the areas of the industry, the minerals that we have. What are we going to begin to do about those industry? And of course, you know, let's go get back down to the other stuff of, you know, the education, the health sector, the transportation sector, all of those things. Those ones, if you like, are two things. Some of them are low-hanging fruits that can easily help. So let's look at, go back to December. You know, the cost of living was raging. People, it was Christmas. And then he announces that the cost of travel was to be halved. But then the owners of these businesses were saying, okay, well, we've not received any money. We're not collecting half from anybody. How do we get our money? Again, like I said earlier, propaganda announcements, editorials, they're not helping the situation. There needs to be real action that, you know...
not to focus on PR.
So those are just a few things off the top of my head. I am not an economist, but I think that from what I've seen so far, those could help.
And of course, the elephant in the room. Electoral reforms.
To produce
a competent and capable man to lead Nigeria for next time.
You see, here's the problem. And thank you for mentioning that. You would think that electoral reforms will be necessary. These reforms, Nigerians will say that we thought we had reforms in 2023 because INEC themselves had petitioned. We had a new electoral law that had been, a new law had been devised, taking into consideration the needs of INEC and what was required in order for them to be able to run, viable elections. And only for INEC themselves to now break their own rules and pretend like it didn't happen.
Wow.
So, and then, you know, the situation as it were, this was the most interesting election that Nigeria has ever had. For all of the things that took place, whether it was the challenges that happened in court or what we saw or even the machinery to bring about to count the votes, so that was available for the election on election day. All very, very interesting. And the electoral umpire, Mahmood Yakubu, had told Nigerians, he had promised the world, in fact. He was here in Chatham House and traveled around the world and regaled every listener with news of his amazing technology and how good it was, to the point that people could be identified by their smell to that point, only for the technology not to work according to the prescription, but then the failing of not even pausing to address the problem or to even acknowledge that something happened. It's very bad. So where do we go from here?
It's a challenge.
The courts themselves did not help.
Yeah.
They contributed their quota to the problem. So where do Nigerians go now?
It's, I'll say they are kind of a situation that come and you say, yes, I'm on the horns of a dilemma. But for you and me, we must have a way out. So we pray for Nigeria and we pray things will change. To you, our listeners,
indeed,
Don't go away. Stay tuned for more programs coming to you on Colorful Radio. Priscilla, it's been a pleasure having you. And thanks a lot for your thoughts.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
This is Colorful Radio.
Hell yeah.
Make me swear. Make me harder. Make me lose my breath. Make me water. Make me swear. Make me harder. Make me lose my breath. Make me water.
Normally, I could keep my cool, but tonight I'm whining. I'm a bee. In a dangerous mood, can you match my timing? Telling me that you really about it, why'd you hide it? Talk is cheap, so show me that you understand. I like it. Can you blow my mind? Set up my whole body.
Tiana wa mama Maybe I met a Hosanna. I said, no, baby, I'm in a way. I said, for the good you've been doing. I said, hey, Tiana wa mama to my name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Thanks for the good you've been doing to me. Hey, Tiana wa mama sebi. One to my name. For the good you've been doing to me. Hey, Radiana, wa mama said me.
Yeah. 1992, me say them new who, and kid my take who. Na rap see me so, so. And chef from town, I'm sure chan me kofi. Vim men the raps and I'm brand say you will be. Nyo ma si sandi as when yadi abin refi. Kai se mi hun se wo kami hua min regi. 15 year old rapper.
Whiskey.
Nam re won se bro nyan cracker.
Biscuit.
Street shows, the school shows, the battles.
Technique.
Methios, the carols, the baffles.
Check
5 years and the G's. Still on release. Shine in your ease. Time to the speed. Boys to the heat. Man to for eat. Bra regi cho boy, you show us the steam. I feel your shots are shopping demo from producer to producer. My food be sad. Then I'm on to them. Said daddy Lumba Nasa Machi. They didn't rap around. They didn't get can you get good. You're going to go to my mother.
One to my name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thanks for the good you've been doing to me. Hey, Radiana, my mama said. One to my name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thanks for the good you've been doing to me. Hey, Radiana, my mama said.
Okay. I pay 97. By heaven, I charm in the hits, legs the leggings, tight, maintain, my legend, nice, the free fear, my bed in, I pay 98, and Lancaster to the streets.